It's showtime.
CallHallFirst.com, and they bring you Carl from Who Are These Podcasts.
Hey, bud.
What are you doing, Carl?
Not too much. What's happening?
It's funny. I listened to Smartless this morning, and I thought, this seems like a hard show to clip. I don't know but apparently it wasn't a hard show to clip.
Oh, you listened to the one with Bradley Cooper on
it? I did, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys were talking about this a little while ago where Bradley Cooper kind of broke down a little bit and admitted to some drug use. So I thought I would check this out. And obviously, Smartless is a very popular show. Jason Bateman,
number one.
Arnett,
it's
Sean
Carl,
Hayes. Yeah.
It's the biggest. It probably makes as much money as just about any podcast out there.
Yeah, because they do six ad reads per episode, and they're all host-read ad reads that are over 60 seconds. So I'm sure they're getting premium CPMs. I'm sure they're doing very well, which, I mean, these guys are all very wealthy celebrities. They wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't worth their time.
I think they obviously enjoy doing it, though. But, you know, Carl, I have to say, I hadn't listened to Smartless much, and I found myself going, oh, God, why are these guys, who are guys who I generally like, not Sean Hayes so much. I'm not really a fan of his. I realize he's done stuff that's been very successful. But, you know, the other two guys I really, really like. And when I hear him talking about Bradley Cooper, about being sensitive and getting in touch with yourself and, you know, being vulnerable, I just was like, oh, no, not these guys. These guys are older. I expect this out of people on The Bachelor, but not people out of Smartless.
Yeah. So that's why I thought this was really interesting. I have a bunch of clips from this show. So let's get right into it.
Oh, please.
And I'm going to start at the top because it starts out real cute. This is their 100th episode, and they have a really cute way to start things off.
Welcome to the 100th episode of Smartless. I am your new host, Bradley Cooper. The other guys they resigned. They just asked for too much money. No, I'm just kidding. These guys are going to be right up. Here's a new episode of Smartless.
You like how he didn't keep that joke going for too long?
Yeah,
he's like, oh, God, just kidding, guys. Whoa. Stop typing that email.
Oh,
I don't want to get too many angry letters coming through.
How annoying.
Now, Carl, does it go from there to an intro of the show like a lot of these shows do?
Yeah, and then what they do is they banter for about 8 minutes before they bring the guest in. And the ongoing reoccurring thing they do on this show is they pretend they don't know who the guest is, which is implausible because they all have questions for him. And they're like, whoa, who's coming up? I don't know. You know, they banter back and forth on that.
Stupid. It's really dumb.
The segue, and Drew, this is where I think you're probably listening to this and going, why are these guys the most popular podcast? Because
no, I get
doing,
it. I get
well, no,
it.
No, I don't. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
They're having this conversation back and forth about having to make toasts in front of people. You know, raise your glass and you know, make a toast. And Jason Bateman hates doing this. And I guess Will Arnett's birthday parties like that night, and they're all going out to dinner or something. And oh, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to make you present the toast to me. And then they go from that conversation to try to introducing the guest. And listen how convoluted this is.
I can't wait. Pick me up with a
I'm
nice
never,
big joke.
I am not
going
to break eye contact with you either. I am not breaking eye contact, no matter what. Speaking of eye contact,
here we go.
Our guest,
an ophthalmologist,
is someone, if you make eye contact, if you happen to get locked into this person's gaze.
Oh, boy.
This is our 100th episode guest.
This better, let me tell you something, Will. This better be
fucking
good.
And this is somebody that we've all locked.
This better be good.
This is somebody we've all locked gaze with.
This is a real
slot. But not just us. The world has locked the gaze, and he is locked in on the world. He has made a connection, a contact.
Mike Tyson.
That is just, that is tough to be broken.
Okay.
But this is somebody that we've been in contact with for a long time. The three of us
Uh-oh.
Are friends with this person. This person is a friend of the
Get
show.
Get into Wait. It!
How'd you find out who it was?
Get into it!
Yeah, who told them? It took them 48 seconds.
Listen, Carl, here's this is one problem. I know you probably have something to say, and I await that anxiously. But this is a problem with three people who are such big stars, who are so comfortable with everything coming out of their brain through their mouth, is that too much is said. There's not enough thinking about what should I say here? Is this worth opening mouth? They all think anything out of their mouth is worthwhile.
Yes. That was what was frustrating me so much, is he's trying to segue, and he keeps locking in on the speaking of eye contact, which makes no sense. So he keeps trying to shoehorn that into the conversation, and it just takes longer and longer. We didn't even get to the introduction of the guest there. You know, you mentioned 48 seconds. This goes on and on. So they finally get to, oh, and by the way, it's Bradley Cooper. Like, oh, no kidding. They're probably looking at him on Zoom the whole time.
What a tired
heard the intro.
What a tired bit, though, to pretend you don't know who the guest is.
That's really
silly. Especially,
because he did the intro to the show, so the listener knows who it is.
Right.
Which is dumb.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. And yeah, that's the other thing, too, is that it's always the title of the episode. So it's not like the listener's going, oh, my gosh, who could it be? I don't know.
So what, who's that fun for? I don't know.
I don't get it.
Is it possible that this thing is so phoned in because they're such big stars and they do have some chemistry that they really don't have to address the show's really inherent problems, which there are yes. big ones, but they don't have to deal with it.
They're not getting a lot of notes. I don't know.
They're
guaranteed.
Number one.
Yeah, they're not getting sat down and doing an air check. That's for sure.
It's one of the problems of being on top.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get into serious conversation, there's tons of ass kissing going on, and they're kissing Bradley Cooper's ass to a point where he feels uncomfortable. Now, what Bradley Cooper is doing is he's playing Leonard Bernstein in this new movie Maestro that's going to be coming out on Netflix. And this is his directorial follow-up to that movie he did with Lady Gaga.
No.
And, I mean, a Star is Born, just so amazing. And they're just so excited about everything this guy is doing. And it's funny because Bradley decides to interrupt them to compliment them back. And I feel like he had a hard time with it.
A huge scope and the scale of that thing with a big, huge co-star and a remake of like a beloved thing.
Yeah.
And now you're going to move into this epic about a beloved American icon and going into like makeup, a little bit of prosthetics maybe? Or like
no, a lot. I mean, he's 25 till he's 69.
It's just you're not phoning this in.
But I'm no different than all of you. I mean, Sean, you're just Oscar Levant. I mean, you've created this whole entire world, Jason. Yeah. And Will, you've forged your own path that no one could even like compare with. So everybody's done what they love.
Yeah. How insincere, you forged your own path.
Yeah, and listen, you were on Lego Batman, so you know you got stuff going on too. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen you on TV before, Will. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't Andy Dick forge his own path?
Yeah, everybody has forged their own path, pretty much.
Yeah, he basically goes, well, you guys are doing stuff, right? That's cool.
Yeah,
we're all doing stuff.
Oh, you're the guest anyway. Just go with it. And just start talking.
Did you pick up on what Sean Hayes? The compliment for Sean Hayes. He's
Oscar.
Who is that?
Oscar Levant? Like. Yes. I had to Google him. He's a piano player who died like 70 years ago.
I had no idea what that meant.
He is doing like off-Broadway theater.
Oh, boring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like 10 people show up every night.
Boring.
Big deal.
A lot of the audience knows who that is.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bradley Cooper's on there. He's Oscar nominated for directing, for acting. And he's going, no, you guys are also awesome. He's like, what are you doing? You're in Chicago doing a play right now, right? That's cool.
Carl, did they ever get into the controversy about him playing Leonard Bernstein, which is that he has a large prosthetic nose? And so some people are saying, oh, wouldn't it be better to have a Jewish person play a Jewish person than to have some guy like Bradley?
Were there complaints about that?
I read about
just
it.
Just from Drew.
No. Yeah. They were complaining about him having a prosthetic nose to play a
Drew,
Jewish person.
Try to guess if they talk about anything controversial like that. No, they most certainly do not.
Okay, I didn't think so.
In fact, it's such bullshit. The ass-kissing that's going on about this. So at one point, Bradley Cooper says, the reason why I picked this project is I always wanted to conduct. I used to watch Bugs Bunny growing up, and I spent hours pretending to conduct. Like, that's bullshit.
Oh, that is so weak. Shut up.
Like, just putting his fingers back and forth? I mean,
right.
And based we've all on conducted. Bugs Bunny.
Was it Brezhnev that did it drunk at the airport? I mean, is that conducting?
No, it was Yeltsin.
Yeltsin, or, yeah, that's right, Yeltsin.
One of the greatest pieces of video from a world leader ever when he's hammered on stage
was
directing
really
the band.
That was cool. But he was conducting.
What's up, Doc? You know the cartoon?
This is why I could never be on a show like this, because if the guest said something like that, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
What do you mean?
They should say that.
To conduct an orchestra watching Looney Tunes? What
I mean,
are you talking
honestly,
about?
Wouldn't
why
it be,
not bust his balls? It would be
say,
a better show.
It'd be far more entertaining to hear Will Arnett give him shit about that.
Okay, I have a theory about this show, Carl. I think this show is kind of, I think it's sort of accidentally targeted at women. I don't think it's a show for the guys. And by the way, Trudy loves the show.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. It's definitely a light listen for the most part.
Yes, it's
right?
They keep it light.
Yeah. Well, until they don't, because, and I don't think they expected this to happen. So Bradley Cooper is talking about, you know, when he was first getting really famous and he was hanging out with other famous people and he was trying to be funny and he was using like a mean sense of humor to be funny. And this track 4, it goes through all the emotions.
No.
And I remember there was a good like year where all I did was try to access mean humor, only out of insecurity in hopes that people would think I'm funny. And I still remember doing this like TV show. Oh man, it's so embarrassing and like really hurting people's feelings, only trying to mimic people that I thought were funny. And Will, do you remember this? And I'll never forget, man. we were living next to each other and Will came into where I was living and he's like, hey man, we had dinner the night before. I know you're not supposed to cry on the show, sorry. This is pretty emotional.
Jesus.
I'm not crying. But
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Fake. No, but I'll never forget it because Will, who, you know, can be mean, but it's, you know, there's no ill will. It's just like if you know each other, you feel safe the way we do.
Pussy.
But I didn't know Will that well then. And he was like, hey man, do you remember we had dinner the other night? And he goes, how'd you think that went? And I was like, and I remember being at the dinner thinking I was so funny. And I thought these two guys who were my heroes thought that I was so funny. I don't know if you remember this, Will. And you're like, I was like, oh, I thought it was great. I thought I was killing it. Yeah, man, you were. And Will, Arnett telling me, he's like, you were a real asshole, man. You were a real asshole. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. And by the way, have your dogs gone out to the bathroom? And I was like, what? No, what time is it? It's 4:00. Oh, no. I think they have to go to the bathroom. They're literally standing by the door. And that was like the first time I ever realized I had a problem with drugs and alcohol. And it was Will saying that to me. And I'll just never forget it. I was like, oh, the guy that I think is doing mean humor is telling me like the truth about that. And it was like, it changed my entire life. And that moment was when I stopped pursuing this sort of mean humor thing.
So basically, Bradley Cooper's not good at being edgy with mean humor because he just turns into an asshole.
He was mid-40s a year, so probably it was a couple years he was doing that. So basically, for like 5% of his life, he was a complete asshole. In addition, all the times he's been an asshole in the other 95%.
Is he going to disown the Hangover series now because his character is kind of an asshole? Like he's going to pull a Katherine Heigl and start shitting on the movie that made him famous.
What I love about this is, according to Bradley, and he doubles down on this, we'll get to that. According to him, he had a problem with cocaine and alcohol, and it was Will Arnett telling him he was an asshole the night before. It got him to realize all the issues and everything. I wish it was that easy for me. I've been called an asshole 5,000 times. I still drink too much. That doesn't deter me at all.
I kind of thought the moment he realized it was when he said, have you let your dogs out yet?
Yeah, that was
weird
too,
right?
What
he meant.
I just don't believe that. I just think it's horseshit.
No, and to go on that show and cry, that is embarrassing as hell. I would feel you can never live down going on Smartless and crying, can you? But I guess they thought it was cool.
Yeah, I didn't. This is like the new thing. Like everyone has to be vulnerable and everyone has to be dealing with their emotions and their insecurities.
Why?
This is not what celebrities used to be. Go back to watching Johnny Carson or David Letterman. They weren't going out there talking about how bad they were at life, but apparently that's all celebrities do now.
If one of you guys starts crying, by the way, I'm quitting. It's over. If you want me to be done, start crying.
It's ridiculous. Isn't he friends with Chappelle, too? I mean, that just, I don't know. Like
Coop?
Yeah, isn't Bradley Cooper friends with David Chappelle?
I don't know. I'm so confused about him.
Ugh.
All right, so you just heard him say, I was trying to be cool and funny, and I want people to like me, so I was trying out this mean humor. Right after that, this is our friend Sean Hayes' follow-up question, five.
Do you remember that, Will?
I do remember that, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Thanks for sharing that, Bradley.
That's amazing. And Bradley, was it because you were trying to, quote, fit in, and that's...
Yeah, like of said, course.
Yeah, he just said that.
That's
Sean.
What he was talking about.
He was
about,
trying out being an asshole, so he's not a real person. He tries shit out.
Yeah, right.
What is that?
And thanks for being real.
I got to say, too, I don't think Will Arnett remembers it, because why not? Can we hear the story from his perspective, too? Like, what did he do at dinner?
He kind of tells it, doesn't he? A little bit.
Does he? Okay.
I think.
A little bit. They talk about a couple of different
things. Will gets emotional, too, which
years.
Almost ruined me. Didn't Will get emotional? Yeah.
I have that.
Okay.
That's a good tease. Yeah,
Oh, no.
I was horrified by this call. Horrified.
The whole cry fest on Smartless.
I mean, Bradley Cooper was, I was like, oh, well, he's pretty soft, I guess. And he's trying to be soft. He appeals to women. But Will Arnett can't cry. No. No.
So my track number 6, I have a feeling that when I get really old and lame, I'll probably say this exact sentence verbatim on some Where They Now show.
I was so starving that it didn't matter that I was hurting people. I didn't even think that I was, because I didn't think I was powerful enough to hurt anybody anyway. So I never thought it was really hurting anybody, because how could I if I'm worthless?
I'm gonna be atoning for a lot of sin someday.
Bad.
Where do you learn all these cliches? When do you go to school to learn all this stupid shit?
I didn't think I was important enough to hurt anybody.
Who did he hurt? Who did he hurt?
He was being humor. No. He was being mean for a whole year. He was trying it out.
Who was hurt by it? I don't think this is true.
Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, is somebody going to come out in a few days and go, I'm the person that Bradley Cooper hurt with his mean humor.
Hopefully.
I'm glad he's finally atoned for his sins.
It'd be great if, like,
taking responsibility.
It became like a Deshaun Watson thing, where like 28 people have now said that Bradley Cooper was mean to them.
Hurt them, yeah.
And used mean humor. And he does a bunch of NDAs.
And he's done the work. He's already done the work. He's a much better person now.
I just didn't like his fat jokes. They just weren't on point for me, and I was very offended by them. So, after this ridiculous idea that he figured out all the error of his ways with how he was treating people, his drinking, his drug use, all because Will Arnett said you were an asshole last night, Sean Hayes actually has a good follow-up question here.
Was that the moment, Bradley, that you just described, or was there something more, even more significant that made you, that clicked in your brain that says, oh, shit, I really have to look at myself and maybe take a left turn.
Well, I was so, I mean, I was so lost. I was so lost. And I was...
you had a weird...
I was addicted to cocaine.
So you're just addicted to cocaine. That's why you're an asshole. That's really what it is.
I liked, though, that Sean goes, so wait, was that really what happened? I mean, there has to be something else, right? It wasn't just Will Arnett hanging out with you on an afternoon take your dogs out.
Reading between the lines, he did a lot of cocaine and probably was kind of a dick when he was on a lot of cocaine, which, yeah. Okay.
How did he have all this money for cocaine when he had no money, no career, and he was just being mean to people all the time? You have to be nice. You have to kiss ass to get cocaine, unless you're a chick.
No. You have to understand that Bradley Cooper moved out to Hollywood in 2001 to be on the show Alias. This idea that Bradley Cooper didn't make it famous.
Struggling actor, yeah.
Yeah, he was not a struggling actor by any means, and yet he likes to play that role.
Yeah, because girls wouldn't look at more Carl, famous. Girls wouldn't look at him, give him a second look.
That's my next clip here. This is so ridiculous.
I definitely did not feel, moving to Los Angeles for Alias, feeling like I was back in high school, couldn't get into any clubs, like no girls wanted to really look at me. Like, it was bullshit. Like, what? I mean, totally depressed. You know, so at 29, it wasn't till really Hangover. I was 36 when I did the Hangover. So I got to go through all of those things before fame even played into my existence on a daily level.
Time out.
It's not true.
Because I am, I often visit whosdatedwho.com to find out which celebrities nail other celebrities.
Yeah.
So before the Hangover even came out in 2009, he was nailing Victoria Kiancohen, hot. Wow. Jennifer Esposito, Cameron Diaz, Isabella Brewster, Denise Richards, Renee Zellweger.
He's getting a second look.
He's doing fine.
Well, also, am I to believe that he was unpopular in high school?
No way.
Bradley Cooper was on.
No.
I love these people who like to pretend like, oh my gosh, my childhood was so rough. Oh, no one liked me.
You know, so girls, the hottest chicks claim they were bullied. And I'm like, shut up. You were not bullied. Your ass was kissed. You got you never said one thing that didn't, you know, that every guy didn't just love.
What does that say, though, about, and I'll say Hollywood specifically, that everyone feels like that's what gives them currency to say they were unpopular and they couldn't get into clubs? Like, you're one of the best-looking guys in the world. What are you talking about?
They think it's
real, Carl. They're real. Yeah, they're
trying to relate to this populist so they will come see them pretend to be people.
Stars
on a screen.
Stars are just like us.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not real.
No. Guys, if Bradley Cooper worked at The Gap, he's getting better pussy than me. All right? So I don't understand. I'm not buying any of this shit.
No, I'm not either. It's ridiculous. I can't believe they try to sell it, though. That's even more offensive.
So
this next
clip that I have is this psychobabble that a lot of celebrities go into, and they must all see therapists at a certain point, and they just start talking this way, which is not normal.
Bradley, you actually went through this metamorphosis before Hangover, like you said, all this stuff. And having those realizations and having that change allowed you, that's what opened you up and allowed you to be you and allowed you to be...
It's true. What is true. When you say that, what do you mean?
Just,
Thank you, Jason. Yeah, what when you say that, what do you mean? What are you talking about? This reminds me, Drew, you'll appreciate this. Howard Stern's interviews. I've become unlistenable.
I hate him. No, he keeps claiming, or people keep claiming to him. I think he tells people, he says, you are the best interviewer in the world, Howard. And his interviews have gotten worse and worse and worse.
Doing them from his basement.
He used to be horrible
just
because
like
he made the interviews all about himself, but now he still makes them about himself, but he kind of goes around the bend by saying, I think your father probably had sex with you when you were younger. Or, yeah. You know, no, he suggests things that without having any basis for it.
No, it's all this psychobabble stuff. And what it makes me think, so Howard's been in therapy for decades, well documented, but it makes me think that maybe being a therapist isn't that hard. If you can just like sit and talk to a therapist once a week and then you can say all the same things they do.
I want to add, because I don't know if they talked about this in the podcast, but just some background on Bradley Cooper. His dad was a stockbroker for Merrill Lynch. He went to a private school for high school, excelled, quote unquote, at basketball.
So I'm sure the girls hated him.
So he's an athlete. Then went to Villanova for a year, another very expensive private. I believe it's private. Then Georgetown. And then while at Georgetown, spent 6 months in France on an exchange program and learned how to speak French. He was nailing tons of chicks.
Oh, period. In France, yeah.
That's how I grew up, too, so I can't say anything. That's exactly how my life is.
But that's the thing. Not relatable, so he makes up this stuff to be relatable? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so stupid. He acts like, oh, my gosh, you know, I was drinking a lot and using cocaine, and I was out of my mind. I play in rock bands. I know tons of people who drink too much and use cocaine. I don't think any of that would be
relatable.
Like, oh, I can't believe it.
It can still be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, it can be.
I don't know. Is anybody going to hold it against him that he had this pretty privileged upbringing and he's a good actor? No, because they like the shit he does.
Well,
right?
I don't know why he has to pretend that he was so down and out. Oh. I mean, I'm sure his parents would have bailed him out of whatever the fuck was going on that was so horrible.
Well,
him
Drew,
practicing being mean for a year.
He has very low self-esteem.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Bradley
oh,
Cooper.
Yeah, of course.
And it's something that he has to keep working on
sure.
in our next track here.
Sure.
Again, you know, still working on self-esteem up until, you know, like a year ago and still do. But I definitely made major breakthroughs, you know, 29 to 34, 2, 3, 34, where at least I was able to, like, stand in front of somebody and breathe and listen and talk. And
yeah.
By touching bottom? Was touching bottom one of the things that allowed you to kind of push off?
That was the, of course.
Yeah.
Again, going back to whosdatedwho.com, after The Hangover, then he nailed Olivia Wilde, Jennifer Lopez, Melanie Laurent, Zoe Saldana, Suki Waterhouse, and currently
yeah, but Brandon, he couldn't look or breathe while talking to them.
Yeah.
Because he has such low self-esteem.
There's nothing, Carl, is there anything more attractive than people who go to therapy and then know it all? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And know it all.
He was working
it's
on,
great.
Did you pick up on that? He was working on self-esteem up until last year. So
yeah,
now he's
got
finally
it right.
got it figured out.
And
when I look at Bradley Cooper, all I think is, man, that guy's got to work on his self-esteem.
Yeah, right.
Why is he so down on himself?
I know. He almost didn't ask J-Lo out. That's how low his self-esteem was.
Stupid.
I was feeling bad about myself, and then I fucked a 10. And I'm fine after that.
Got
yeah.
a glimpse of myself in the mirror while nailing her.
Yeah, a woman would give me a second look, but somehow I nailed Cameron Diaz. I don't know how that happens. Crazy.
A joke.
All right, so my next track here, we're just going in order because that's how it all unfolds on the show. So Bradley decides to double down on the fact that it was Will Arnett who saved his life.
It is truly Will Arnett. He is the reason. And there's nobody else.
Bullshit. That's it. That was the whole clip.
He'll be on Dax Shepard next week and say, dude, you saved my life.
Yeah, yeah right, exactly. It's just because that's the guy interviewing him.
Let me ask you this. Does Will accept credit for saving Bradley Cooper's life?
Well, let's listen to our next track where Will gets a little choked up here.
Oh, no.
You know, we had the benefit over the last couple months. We were in New York and stuff and hanging out for the most we've hung out in a number of years.
Yeah.
And it has been awesome. Seeing you in this place and seeing you comfortable. Nothing has made me happier. Just even hanging out at the house with Leah and just seeing you be you and making food. And I, honest to God, dude, I was like, now I'm going to cry. It's made me happy to see you so happy.
My God.
Oh God!
I have to say, guys, if just telling someone they were an asshole the night before is all it takes for you to fix yourself, I think you would have figured it out either way, even without Will Arnett. You know, it didn't take too much.
I think this is kind of a fake pay it forward thing where, okay, you're going to pretend that you saved my life. I'll pretend you saved my life, and then Brad Pitt claims that Bradley Cooper saved his life.
Oh, so of then course. Sorry, good.
So then, isn't it kind of like a pyramid scheme where somebody keeps claiming, you know, getting you can claim you saved my life,
saved and Will Arnett's life.
I'm sure we could find out.
Nice, that right? We'll learn that one from you, guy.
I think you're onto something, Drew, because it's never like someone's brother or parent or some non-famous person in their life. It always has to be like another A-list celebrity. Helps them through these difficult times.
Hang on, let me just ask my boner. Oh, yeah, he's fine with it.
And I love this idea that he like hit rock bottom and stuff. Like Bradley Cooper has been a working actor in Hollywood for decades.
He's never hit rock bottom.
Why? He's doing very well.
Two people out of these four have cried, and not one of them is not Sean Hayes.
I know, that's the amazing
ridiculous
thing. I'm starting to like Sean Hayes the most out of these four.
I have great news because in my next track, finally, Sean Hayes decides to speak up, and I'm like, yes,
really?
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
You guys are awesome. Yeah. I mean, can you?
I've loved myself since the time I got out of the womb. I got shot out loving the shit out of myself.
You're like, I cannot relate to any of this.
Thank you. That's the funniest thing that has been said so far. That's great.
Sean Hayes is the least successful of these four people. And he's like, guys, what are you complaining about? We're all like rich and famous. This is awesome. And that's why you go into acting. That's why you become a celebrity, because you love yourself. You have very high self-esteem. Otherwise, you don't do it.
That's what's funny. And I'm glad you said that, Carl, because it's like they're trying to relate to the rest of the populace, you know, and be normal without realizing how absurd it sounds, because they're all four of them are pretty rich and famous and have the world by the balls.
They really and not do. Only have they become successful, Mark, they've stayed there for a long time. Yeah. All of these guys, they've figured it out. If anyone should be going, guys, I have life figured out and I can tell you how to live your life because it's amazing what I've done, it's these people. And they amazing. Do just the opposite. Yeah. It makes no sense.
You don't have any family, right? No wife or kid? No pets, girlfriends, shit like that I got to worry about? I need total commitment here.
Do you guys, has any male ever said, oh, you got to hear Smartless? Because I've had two people suggest the show to me. Both are females.
Yeah, none of my friends listen to this
slightly
show.
Slightly suspicious.
No, I tried listening to the Radiohead one, and I turned it off because they annoyed the shit out of me.
Because we can break down our audience, and it's usually like 81% male, 19% female. I bet their show is the opposite. I really do.
Probably. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, more power to them.
These guys are all listening to Rogan.
Since they can't get a second look, I mean, that's good for them.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend.
Thanks for saving my life, Drew, by the way.
You're welcome.
Mine too.
We've all had hard times. We all have insecurities. I'm not going to pretend that I have life all figured out, but it's the last thing I want to talk about while I'm trying to entertain people on a show.
Yeah.
No,
why? I don't know why that's like a go-to for so many people now.
But Carl, there's got to be a lot of people that want that.
Yes,
there must
be. You talk
be.
About it all the time. It's all women, though. It's not like on Bachelor Nation and shit where they're doing that.
I don't know. There's so many mental health shows now, and I guess it is. You're probably right. It is probably mostly female, but that's a big part of the – that's a big chunk. I mean, it's more than 50%. I don't know. I hear guys that talk the language, though, and I think that's all chick-directed, isn't it? They're not talking to me.
Correct.
They know I see through it, I guess. Okay. I should be okay with it then, I guess. They're just trying
if they're
to
doing this to
women.
Pick up chicks, then who am I to judge on that? You're right.
Yeah, they've unlocked the door. They've got the key. I don't.
All right, so this last track I have on here, we're going to change gears a little bit. They get over the serious stuff. And Jason Bateman asked the most long-winded and blowhardy question. And where this question actually ends up, because it morphs over time, where he actually ends up and finally asks the question, if you gave me a million guesses, I would never have gotten to it.
Oh.
What about where does the, I know this is kind of a trite question. I'm sure you've answered this one a bunch of times too, but the passion between acting and directing, they're completely different in their creative agendas, endeavors, and goals. One is a bit more singular, and the other one is a bit more sort of global with multiple departments. And where do those two things balance for you and sit? You know, I'm not going to say which do you like more, but what type of mood are you in when you gravitate more towards one versus the other?
What type of mood?
Yeah. Can you believe that's where he landed with that? What kind of mood are you in? How do you answer that?
Wow. He really did want to just ask, what's the difference between them for you?
Or was she like better?
What do you like better and why?
Yeah.
Right. It's fine.
Shut your fucking talk hole.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
That's really sad that those three are doing that.
No, I'm glad that it's not that easy to phone it in, because they can phone it in and be number one, but it's just not that good. I don't. It should be better than this, and it never will be, because it's not the first thing they do, and they think it's so easy, and they're number one. They go right to the top because of, well, who they are, primarily, because they can talk that
stupid
talk.
I'm going to predict something here, Drew. I mean, Brandon talks about this all the time, but my prediction is that this whole format of having a big celebrity on your show and having these boring conversations is going to get lame, and people are going to stop doing it and listening to it, right?
I think that the circuit of celebrities that go through all the podcasts interviewing, like they're on every celebrity podcast and they're on each other's, I think that's already gotten really boring, because even Jeremy Piven, I noticed that podcast didn't go anywhere, and it was terrible. It was horrible.
Is Smartless, is that on Conan's, is that on the Conan umbrella? Is that what Smartless is part of? Do you guys know? I'm just wondering, because I mean, they're all people that Conan's had on a bunch. Do they see somebody like Conan or Letterman, or because they go on these shows and go, oh, I can talk to people? Because I think Conan O'Brien and David Letterman are really good interviewers, because they know what the audience wants. And I feel like these guys see that and think, oh, I can do that. I just think it's a lot harder than what
they think. It's from Wondery.
Okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of celebrities think it's easy. I can do that. I love radio. I've been on the radio a million times. That's what David Lee Roth said when he took over for Stern. Oh, yeah, I've been on the radio so much. I love radio. I'm great at it.
Oh, yeah. David Lee Roth also said, oh, I talk to 50,000 people a night. I can easily do this. Like, it's a lot different to introduce the next song than it is, like, carry on a conversation for 3 hours.
That just surprises me.
It's just not that easy. Unfortunately, when you look at the charts, you go, yeah, it is that easy, I guess, because they're number one. So, but I agree with what you're saying, Carl. I think that is going to get old. You're going to have to be, because what happens with some of these people is they find out, like Jeremy Piven, that, you know, people don't really like me because I put myself out there, quote unquote, and I had all my friends on, and it just wasn't that fucking great.
Yeah, and also, for me anyway, putting on a good show takes a lot of prep. There's a lot of preparation that goes into, okay, what's the conversation going to be about? Do I want to pull some clips? Do I want to get them to react to this thing? Maybe we'll play a game together. You know, I don't know. Things that would make it interesting. And these hosts, these celebrities do none of that. You could tell that they're like, hey, it's time to podcast. Like, oh, okay, yep, I'll go over to this other room and record for an hour.
Well, you figure, too, they probably have a big staff that is writing the questions for them. I was watching Good Morning America, and for some reason, Adam Scott was on to promote Severance, which is the season finale of Severance, was months ago. And George Stephanopoulos is like, when I got my packet of questions for you, which is what he actually said, he goes,
that's funny.
I see that you were on Boy Meets World, and that's where you got the start. I'm sitting there going, you don't know what fucking Boy Meets World is, George. You were working for the Clinton campaign when that was out. What are you talking about? So he literally just took up his package and goes, he's in Boy Meets World. I'm going to ask him about that. And we have a clip to roll with it. I don't know. It's just embarrassing for Stephanopoulos.
That's so phoning it in. And it's so sad because you know there's thousands of people watching this going, if I had that job, I would have prepped for this interview. I would have known who this person was.
There's so many things you could ask Adam Scott about that would be interesting, and that's not one of them. Who cares about that?
There are a lot of celebrity podcasts where you hear really embarrassing exchanges, and it's just, it's so, so cringy. Who is it? Beadle? What's the female's name?
Michelle Beadle?
Michelle Beadle. Oh, ouch.
Oh, really? How bad
is it? I think, Carl, didn't you do her podcast, Carl?
I don't think so. It doesn't ring a bell.
He's writing it down.
I'm writing
though.
This down.
Yeah, she had some rough. There were some rough shows. I think there was a reference to them publicly too for some reason. I don't know, but yeah, into it.
I would kind of think if she was by herself, because she's done interviews.
I like her. No, yeah, I generally like her, but she's too you go girlish and
really. That's kind of a change for her.
She's just not. She's not the real. She seems real on TV for some reason, and just not. I don't know. Or like maybe I don't want to get to know her that well.
Huh.
Other than her little brief clips on football shows. Anyway, listen to it, Carl. Tell me what you think. I'm very curious.
I'll check it out. Speaking of people who suck at podcasting, I went and saw Bert Kreischer on Sunday night. Not because I wanted to see Bert Kreischer. Dave Attell was there and Big Jay Oakerson. So those guys were great. But Dave Attell goes up. does about 10 minutes and goes, okay, I got to get off the stage. We got to get Bert up here. I'm like, no, it's the funniest comedian of all time. And he's leaving the stage with the Bert go up and take his shirt off. Oh, it was so embarrassing.
Bad. Okay, how long is the Bert Kreischer thing going to last?
This place was packed. Thousands of people there, all to see. I saw people with Two Bears, One Cave hats on. I wanted to like grab them by the shoulders. What are you doing?
Who are you
watching this?
What's the MO of these people? Because I don't get it. I just don't at all. And I think he's a likable guy. I really do.
Yeah. They're obviously not comedy fans because you can't watch Dave Attell and then go, I can't wait for Bert Kreischer. Like, it's hard to follow someone who actually writes jokes when you're Bert Kreischer.
Doesn't it kind of make sense that Bert Kreischer fans would be excited for Dave Attell to get off stage so Bert could come on? Doesn't it make sense?
It's totally different. Yeah, they're totally different.
Totally different.
Comedian.
Yep. Well, Bert Jay's great too.
Who?
Big J.
Big J Okerson.
Oh.
How's his podcast? Because I see him ranked. It does very well. Is it a good show?
So he has Legion of Skanks, which is huge.
Yeah,
that's
big.
A big one with Louis J. Gomez and Dave Smith. So that's a big one. But that guy might be spread a little bit too thin, Big J, because he also does a show called The Bonfire on SiriusXM with Dan Soder.
Right.
And then he also is part of another show, and I'm drawing a blank on what that is. But yeah, he does a lot of podcasting and radio.
Has he been, who are these podcasted?
He has not. We have not hit any of Big J's shows yet.
Okay. Yeah, I started to listen to, what was the first show you mentioned?
Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, it had some, I definitely could understand why it was a thing and why it did well. I mean, I didn't have any ugly thoughts about it, but you usually tend to find the ugliness in almost anything, Carl. So.
Well, I think they're great. Louis J. Gomez actually gave me a shout out recently on his other show, Real Ass Podcast. I like those guys a lot. And they have an audience that you don't want to get on their bad side.
I wanted to ask you, since you love stand-up, you know a lot about stand-up, have you been watching these specials that have come out, like the Bill Burr Netflix special where he's kind of a showcase for comics? Have you seen that?
Honestly, I haven't watched it because everything I've heard about it has turned me off, and I don't want to be bummed out about it.
Really? Okay, what have you heard about it?
So I hear that it's the even the good comedians on there are real PC and safe.
What?
It's not real edgy or interesting comedy.
I wanted more Bill watching it just because I want more Bill Burr all the time. But I didn't think it was that bad. But then again, I didn't know a lot of the comics on there, so it was kind of an introduction to them. Did you see the Norm special, the Norm McDonald special?
I have not. I got to get
Saget. Or the Bob Saget one. Have you seen the Bob Saget one?
No, I heard you guys talking about that the other day, and it's interesting because it sounds like you have to have the remote in your hand while you're watching that one.
I want to watch it for the cringiness. It sounds like there's some terribly cringy stuff. I got some email about it today. I totally agree with you.
You just
got
to speed through Jackson Brown and anytime Jim Carrey speaks. But
I want to hear what he says if it's that stupid.
Huh?
I want to hear what he says if it's that bad. I'm kind of like Carl. I like bad.
He's human breaks. I mean, he puts the break on anything that's being talked about. But Jeff Ross was on there, and he also did his thing with the Tell on the Bill Burr special, which was probably outside of Bill was the highlight of it. Those two guys.
He's great. Well,
Carl, you took down the number one podcast. That's pretty good.
Well, I have one more thing that I want to talk to you guys about.
Okay.
It's not the most topical thing in the world, but we haven't talked about it yet. And it's the Red Table Talk where Jada Pinkett Smith finally addresses. And so this came out June 1st.
She got so real. I was so proud of her.
Who?
Jada Pinkett got really real.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
You walked right into that one.
You're right, Will. I'm sorry. So I have the clip, and this is the full clip where she addresses this. And she actually, the reason why she hasn't talked about it, and we can get into all of this after we listen to it, but the reason why she hasn't talked about it yet is because she wanted to use this as an opportunity to talk about alopecia and
to get
other people with that ailment on the show. And she actually brings on a woman whose daughter had alopecia and committed suicide. So it's a very serious subject, much more serious than celebrities having a little slap fight.
And I'm sure, was her daughter's alopecia just like Jada's, where most of her hair is still growing?
I also pulled a bunch of comments under the video so we could get into that, but let's play the clip. Okay.
Considering what I've been through with my own health and what happened at the Oscars, thousands have reached out to me with their stories. I'm using this moment to give our alopecia family an opportunity to talk about what...
As she says, thousands have reached out to me. She shows images on the screen of, you know, dozens of bald mostly women, men and women, who are suffering from alopecia. So, you know, she's making it real powerful, letting you know that these are real people.
It's very emotional.
Yeah. To give our alopecia family an opportunity to talk about what it's like to have this condition and to inform people about what alopecia actually is. Now, about Oscar night, my deepest hope is that these two intelligent, capable men have an opportunity to heal, talk this out, and reconcile. The state of the world today, we need them both. No. And we all actually need one another more than ever.
No, we
Until
don't.
Then, Will and I are continuing to do what we have done for the last 28 years, and that's keep figuring out this thing called life together.
And I'm doing a good job. Yeah, no, he needs to apologize. There's no reconciliation needed.
One
he needs
person.
To fucking apologize, you imbecile.
Yeah. Also, I really hate this thing because it's, again, going back to what we were just talking about, where she's going, yeah, Will Smith and I are still trying to figure out how to live life. What are you talking about? You're the most successful fucking people on the planet.
Not only that, you're not even close. You don't go and hit a person that makes a joke on a stage. That's not even close. You have a lot more figuring out to do.
Could you imagine if they were poor? Those two people with two kids. They would not be together. There's no way they would be together if they were poor.
And for her to put all these bald heads on her screen or whatever, she has more hair than I do, way more hair than I do. There's a lot of stubble on her head.
You can have someone slap someone on your behalf then.
No, I'm not trying to make light of it, but I mean, she is not a severe case. I mean, I knew a guy in high school, he couldn't grow eyebrows, he couldn't grow any kind of hair at all. He had a completely bald head. She's got a hairline. You can see it.
Can I read one of the comments underneath this video?
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting. It says, to clarify, Jada has self-diagnosed alopecia. A doctor found no indication of an autoimmune disorder. She shaved her head after discovering a small line of missing hair, a linear line which generally isn't found in alopecia, and aligns more with a surgical scar.
Yeah, it looks like a scar.
A scar in that location generally found in facelift recipients.
Oh.
I don't know any validity to that, but I thought that was a pretty good comment.
Oh, that's great.
Big fat phony.
Oh, boy.
Because, Drew, I'm totally with you. Every single photo I've looked at of her, she has a full head of hair.
Yeah, that's
you
what it looks like to
all
me.
All the stubble.
She does.
Yeah, when you've lost some hair, you look at hairlines a lot.
She has eyelashes, eyebrows. She's got a huge bush. Trust me, tons of hair.
The best part is she's going to have to keep this up for the rest of her life now.
Yeah. Right.
She's going to have to totally keep her head shaved for the rest of her life.
Is Will Smith ever going to speak to the world again?
He's still doing his world religion tour, where he's going from different continent to continent and doing religious things.
Still figuring this thing out, I guess. So as soon as
Will
he knows
Smith
that you're not supposed
really
to...
Will Smith is a really great guy.
As soon as he knows you're not supposed to punch people, make jokes, then I guess maybe he'll return to us. Anyway, Carl Hall Financial, thank you for bringing us Carl and Who Are These Podcasts. And it seems like I'm getting a new show all the time now that I'm a bag slapper. I meant to be the big Patreon class, but I never got to it. I just saw the one and like punched in, and then I saw
good
I could have been a $25 guy.
Good excuse.
You could change it at any time, my friend. Go ahead and hop on there.
Is there any hassle involved?
There's no hassle involved at all. We make it easy for you. And thank you very much for subscribing to our Patreon, patreon.com/whoarethesepodcasts, where we put out two bonus episodes every single month, but we also now broadcast all of our shows live as we do them. You can watch the videos. I send out links to everybody. You can watch it on YouTube as we're recording the shows.
There is no better time to subscribe to the Patreon because all the Stuttering John stuff that was taken down is back up because Carl has won his battle with Patreon and Stuttering John.
Yeah,
that's right. He DMCA striked me. I put in a counterclaim, and I've won, so I'm putting up those episodes that I had to take down. And I from what I've heard, John's very pissed off about this.
Oh,
and
loses.
John currently, not to make it all about me, guys, but John currently is not only threatening to sue me again, but now he's threatening that there may be actually unlawful things I'm doing because two of his gigs got canceled because people were calling the clubs.
Oh.
And saying that they were going to give him 1-star reviews if they let John perform there.
Why?
And he's trying to say that I'm the one who's responsible for this.
Don't do that. Don't call him 1-star reviews. You want him on stage.
Yes.
Exactly. We want. I said it. I go, I want John filming himself from the minute he wakes up to 3 p.m. when he's blackout drunk. Like, I want to watch it all.
Oh, we'd make him a millionaire, Carl. We'd make him very wealthy. Wealthier than he's ever been because I would subscribe so fast to that. I think I'd play like $99 a month or something. That would be never ending. Ending entertainment except for when he slept.
You put your money on his Patreon and Carl's, you'd move it.
No, it'd be entertainment when he slept. You can find out if any cockroaches are jumping on him while he's sleeping.
I'd afford both of them. I need them both.
If his inflatable air mattress is running out of air.
Mark, I'm watching this recent episode of Stuttering John. He has this guest on, Gabe Sanchez. And Gabe literally says, we can debate all day whether or not Carl was the person who actually called the club. But the point is, I'm like, what do you debate all day? Dude, I'm a very busy person. I'm not calling comedy clubs, getting people's gigs canceled. Are you crazy?
No, you don't want ridiculous. Anything of John's canceled.
Yeah, you don't want it. You want more? You want more content for John? Of course. The world needs more Stuttering John content.
No, we do.
Well, not to mention that
we'll pay for it.
I do live shows, my podcast, my band. Yeah. I do shows at venues all the time. And I'm the last person to be calling up places and threatening them so that people couldn't play live shows. It's insane.
Would a venue really cancel it because they got two or three calls saying we'd give you a one-star?
No, they're probably selling no tickets.
Bullshit.
You can't sell tickets. That's a bigger problem. But Carl, you should start saving anytime he says he's going to try to sue someone, because I could swear I've heard him say on your show that he was going to sue about seven or eight different people. You need a bonus large cut of that.
Oh my gosh. I just found somebody found an old clip of him from 4 or 5 years ago talking about how he was going to sue SiriusXM because J.D. Harmeyer, who was employed by them, was like harassing some girl on social media, and he was like going to bring a case against him. Like, he wants to sue everyone. It has nothing to do with John. He just wants to sue everyone for some reason.
I think he's a big supercut there. You got to save those.
I agree.
That'd be fun to hear. All right. Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. All right, Hoothies Podcast on Sunday.
Check out Jizz Talking, which is out right now, our current episode.
Oh, yeah. That is a good one. I thought Jizz Talking would be a great parody of Jive Talking. The Bee Gees?
Yes. That Jizz Talking.
If you're going to refuse to get vaccinated and refuse to wear masks, then you deserve to die. Sorry.